guest from Spokane with us this morning. Glad you could come and join us. I want to say hi to everyone on Zoom. Glad you're joining us as well, though I can't see you. Hopefully you can see me. Had a wonderful worship time. Thank you very much for sharing with us worship. Well, the world is changing around us. It seems like every week, every day, there's new something going on that causes us to be shaken, causes us to become anxiety-ridden. And it's very possible that there are things that are shaking your world even now. Whether I look like it or not, this new school thing has got me a little shaken. And seems like there's, of course, more pressure and more things that's taking. But, you know, this week has been like a pressure pot somewhat. And so throughout the week, though, there's this little song that keeps coming to my mind. I'm going to share it with you. And you may be familiar with this song, but and if you're not, you need to get familiar with it. If you are, you can sing it with me. It goes like this. I cast all my cares upon you and lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Hold on, I got them written here. Actually, it's on the overhead. Would you turn it on there, please? And every time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. So that's been going through my head. So every time there's a care or a worry or a stress, that's the song. And for some reason, it makes me feel peaceful. And I know the reason is because Jesus said, you can cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Has that come up yet? It was the first slide. Okay. We're having some technical difficulties. So they're going to bring it up here in a minute, and then we might sing it together when we do. Okay. Until then, we're going to continue with my message. So, the title of this message, or actually the title of this series is, For Heaven's Sake, What Are You Doing? For Heaven's Sake, What Are You Doing? We taught a series called For Heaven's Sake, or Who Am I For Heaven's Sake? Now we're teaching For Heaven's Sake, What Am I Doing? And we're talking about the spiritual gifts that is structured or has been given to us throughout Scripture. We've been talking about looking at and focusing on the gift giver rather than the gifts. And so this is part two of that mini part series of who is this gift giver? As we begin, I want to ask you a question, a simple question. Is there someone in your life that you don't trust? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your spouse. Don't tell me their names. Honestly, there's a few people in my life that I don't trust. And there are reasons for that. And the reasons I don't trust them is maybe I don't know them very well. And my brother Troy used to work with the... I'm going to move this over a little bit. My brother Troy used to work with addicts. And I don't know if you know anything about addicts, but they're pretty good at being cons. Okay? They know how to get something just by smooth talk. And so they would ask Troy for something, and he would say, I don't think I'm going to go there. He said, what, you don't trust me? Well, I don't know you. So how can I trust you? So you have to, trust oftentimes have to be earned. Until trust is established, it's hard to be involved in relationally and help and kind of understand where that person's coming from and being willing to walk with them, right? It's very difficult to walk with someone you don't trust. Sometimes people have just proven themselves to be unreliable, and therefore you're not going to trust them because that's who they've proven themselves to be. And so this is what I do. I trust you to do what you've always done until you prove to me differently. Right? Is that wrong? No, I think that's wise. I think that's wise. So we talked about several weeks about our identity in Christ. But I think even more importantly is that we know who Jesus is. We know who God is. We know their character. We know their attributes. Because if we know them, then we can trust them. There's a lot of people who don't trust God because they really don't know him. Last week we spent some time on the Holy Spirit, his work in our lives, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, his promise, so that the promise of Jesus Christ that he would guide us into all truth. And so we need to have a little talk with Jesus, listen to what the Spirit says, and do what the Spirit says. And if the Holy Spirit says something different than what this word says, then you're listening to the wrong spirit. Okay? So, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture. But before we do, we're going to sing this song. All right. So, I'm going to try to lead it again. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. I think you've about got it. Let's do it one more time. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Amen. Y'all make a good choir. So look, if you would, with me at James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. This passage says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. There is no changing in God. There is no variation with God. Did you know that God the Father is always constant? That he never changes? That he can be trusted? That he is dependable? Scripture says that with him there's no variation or shadow of turning. What that means is basically it doesn't even cross his mind that he ought to change. There are many churches of which I've heard who want to make God culturally relevant and make the Bible culturally relevant. So they're saying that God changes depending upon the whims of society. But God says differently. God says, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we might want him to change his mind about some things. But one of you are going to be wrong. And it's probably not God. We've been talking about gifts. This is what James tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. So every gift that God gives is good. Every gift that God gives is perfect. So would you kind of help me a minute? We don't have a lot of crowd here, but I want you to help me a minute. So tell me about some gifts that God has given you. Mention one, and then I'll mention it to the Zoom because they can't hear you. All right, your wife is a gift from God. Listen to this passage of Scripture. In Proverbs 18:22, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure. And he receives favor from the Lord. So I want you to turn to your spouse, men, and say, you are my treasure. That wasn't very loud. I was kind of like, maybe. Scripture says, yeah, it's weird that the Lord doesn't say anything about the husband's being a treasure. You know, I'm thinking, where is that? Pretty evident. The wives are a treasure from the Lord. He's a gift from the Lord. And one who has a wife finds favor with the Lord. Isn't it? Yeah. Not one who finds husband, but one who finds a wife. So, except for my wife, possibly. But anyway. Yeah, exactly. She might say differently. So, tell me another gift. Kids and grandkids, listen to this passage in Psalm 127:3. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from Him. Dads, tell your children you are a gift from the Lord. And grandchildren, you're a gift from the Lord. What are some other gifts that God has given you? Joy. Praise the Lord. Yes. What? I'm sorry?
Trials.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. Trials. Someone else? Wisdom. Peace. Patience. Good. Love. All right. Do you know God loves you? You know, I was visiting with a lady over Zoom this week who lives in British Columbia. And I said, would you just ask God right now, does He love you? Because I could tell she was struggling with that. And so I was watching her. And she said, God, do you love me? I saw tears start trickling down her cheeks. And I said, what did He say to you? He said, she didn't say anything. It just felt like He was hugging on me. He was tucking me in. That was the words. He was tucking me in. And I thought, man, how precious. How precious. How precious. We need to know God loves us. You need to know God loves you. Not just in your head, but in your heart. You need to know that. That's a wonderful gift from God. What is another gift? I'm waiting for two especially. Each other. That's another one. That's a good one. I didn't think of that one either. Well, I'm thinking of salvation. And I'm thinking of the Holy Spirit. These are all wonderful gifts coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And here's something. Did you know that the more you know about the Father, the more you can trust Him? And if you're having struggles trusting Him, it's because you don't know Him very well. Sometimes Father asks us to do things that are uncomfortable, doesn't make sense, as Renee said earlier, doesn't make common sense. And we can either say, well, that doesn't make sense, I'm not going to do it. Or you can say, because I know you, I can trust you. It might feel like you're slogging through mud for a while. It may feel like that you're falling and nobody's going to catch you. But I know this, because he's proven himself over and over and over and over in my life and in the life of this church, that if you just do what he says, he's going to provide for you. He's going to make a way. He will show you, even if sometimes we make mistakes, right? And we get off track, not intentionally. It's like, oh man, I blew it that time. God, help me. You know what he does? He just catches you anyway. Because that's who he is. That's a loving God. God loves you. And he wants you to know him. Because if you know him, you will know that you can trust him and that he will never leave you or forsake you. Trusting is not just saying, I believe in God. Trusting is walking it out. There's a passage of Scripture that says, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So there's a lot of people who say, I know God. I know God. But their life shows that they know him only as a entity in the heavens, but they don't know him as a personal God in their heart, because their walk is contrary to what God says. Does that make sense? If they knew him, if they really knew him, then they would want to have that relationship with him so that they're walking with him, stride in stride with him. Does that make sense? Okay. It's not the words of your mouth so much as it is the walk of your life, your actions that prove whether or not you are trusting God. And I'm going to pick on Rena and Cindy right now. They quit work so they could work at this school. Okay? So I'm preaching to you. And I know it's difficult. Just a little bit. There's a lot of uncertainties. A lot of what ifs. But if you can't trust God, trust me. God's got you. Okay? God's got you. And he will take care of you. Okay? One way or another, he'll take care of you. Sometimes it's at the very last minute. God will take care of you. So look at this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 29 with me. It says, for the gifts of God, and this is the New King James Version, for the gifts of the calling of God are irrevocable. NLT says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. So whatever God has given you, it's yours forever. Whatever call he has upon your life, it's yours forever. It can never be withdrawn. It can never be removed. It's irrevocable. Have you ever had someone promise you something and then take it back? Or someone give you something and take it back? We used to call them Indian givers. That's probably not politically correct. I'm not sure how that works. But And the reason, so early on, we Americans would promise the Indians something, give it to them, and then a few years later say, oh man, that was a bad decision, so I'm going to take it back. They did this over and over and over and over. And so people who do that, give something to someone and decide to bring it, take it back, we call them Indian givers. Okay? God's not an Indian giver. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to give you something and then take it back from you. Whatever I've given you, it's yours to keep forever. Have you ever wondered why there are prominent Christians and high levels of leadership who do ungodly things, who make horrible, sinful, or do horrible, sinful actions, and yet their ministry still flourishes? Have you ever wondered why? I have. And they may have done it for years, and you don't find out about it till they're dead. And yet, they had a lot of influence on a lot of people. And you know why that is? Because God's call and his gifts are irrevocable. Isn't that weird? Man, sometimes I'm thinking, if I were God, I'd just snatch that gift right away from him. You know? Because the influence they have on people are, when they find out there's been a fall or something, there's a fallout. And people are hurt. People are broken because of this person's actions. Maybe you're familiar with Aaron, Moses' brother in the Old Testament. So he was called to be the high priest. I mean, that's pretty high. The big dog of the priests. And here Moses goes up 40 days to talk to God about some stuff. And when he comes down off the mountain, Aaron has already made this golden calf and having the children of Israel worship this golden calf. And I'm thinking, why didn't God choose somebody else? You know, that's weird. Well, the reason he didn't is because of God's call and his gifts are irrevocable. God doesn't take back what he's given. Now, you may feel like you have lost something that God has given you. But if you have, it's not God who took it. Because his gifts and his calling are irrevocable. He will never take back those things. You may say, well, I had my health once. That's a gift from God. I no longer have it. I used to think more clearly than I think now. You know what? Life happens. And sometimes age creeps up on us whether we want it to or not. We don't think as clear as we used to. We are not as active or able as we used to be. But God didn't remove that from you. Sometimes age does it. Sometimes Scripture says, I have come to give life and give it more abundantly, but the enemy comes to steal, or the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you've lost a spouse, if you've lost children, we talked about them being gifts from God, and their gifts are irrevocable. If you lost them, it's not God. It's not God, and we blame him a lot of times for things that the enemy does. And you think about, we think about the people in Afghanistan, or I do, our brothers and sisters who are running for their lives, who has, as if they were prey, people hunting them down to kill them. And you think, man, where is God in all of this? God's love doesn't change just because we go through trials. God's character doesn't change just because we go through difficulties. God is there for them. He's just a call away. Do you know what God's phone call is? Or do you know his phone number? J-E-R-333. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. That's his phone number. So if you ever need to get in touch with him, there you go. Jeremiah 33:3. J-E-R-333. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you received gifts of the Spirit. You may not know what your gift is right now, but I just encourage you, just start doing something. And when you start doing something, it probably will begin coming to the surface. There will be a passion. There will be a joy in that. So just start doing something that you see needs to be done. Okay? That's the best way to find your gift. We're going to be talking about more. Matter of fact, Bob shared something a while ago regarding a prayer for protection. I believe that was a word of knowledge that was given to him, and Scripture talks about that, and we can talk about that later on. But that was something that the Lord impressed upon his heart. That's something he's been praying over his family. And he said, can I share that with the church? I said, sure, you can share that with the church. He wanted to share it weeks ago, but whatever note he left me, I've lost it. So, anyway. So, I told you that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They will never be taken from you. I want us to look at a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You're going to say, well, man, what this has to do with anything. But I'll show you. So, let me just say this. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And if you look in the book of Luke, Luke addresses that letter actually to a man named Theophilus. Acts, he writes to the same man about the accounts of the disciples and the accounts of the Holy Spirit. And so he starts off by saying, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I read that fairly quickly. But I want you to notice. So who was Jesus? Say it loud. Son of God, the Messiah. He was buried. He rose again. He was on this earth for about 40 days. Then he was taken up into glory. Now listen to me. The resurrected Messiah calls his disciples together. And he begins to give them commandments, Scripture says, through the Holy Spirit. So why would a resurrected Messiah need the Holy Spirit? Because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. There are three things I've noticed in this passage that call your attention to. Number one is when Jesus did anything while on this earth, he did it through the power and unction of the Holy Spirit. Anytime Jesus did something, he did it through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do anything in the flesh. Every thing he did was in through the Spirit. Even after his resurrection, everything he did was through the Spirit. Okay? Using the gifts that the Spirit enabled him to use. The second thing we find is, on this occasion, when Jesus was instructing his disciples, it was after his resurrection, before his ascension, yet it was still through the Holy Spirit that he spoke to the disciples, instructed them. I've already shared that with you, but I just want to nail that down, let you understand that the Holy Spirit was still active in Jesus' life even after he was resurrected. This third thing, I think, is an assumption, but I think I'm right in it. It says, since the gifts of God are irrevocable, and since it was necessary for the Son of God to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue his ministry even after the miraculous resurrection, then it's safe to assume that we too will still have the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit active in us when we are free from these bodies. How else could you rule nations? How else could you rule angels? I believe, and I think I'm right, there's no other evidence in Scripture, this is the only thing we have, this is the only hint, that when we have our resurrected bodies, the Holy Spirit will be active in our lives. Because the gifts of God are irrevocable. The calling of God is irrevocable. So here's what I'm thinking. Whatever gifts you have now, whatever your work you're doing now, that's going to continue when you get into heaven. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I love that. It's not just for the here and now, it's for the later too. Much later too. A million years from now, later too. And we're probably going to get better at it. Probably going to get better at it. So, I'm assuming all of you here know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Hopefully, those on Zoom too. But just to, I always like to close with an invitation. So, quote John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's enough. Well, it's not enough, but that's what. For God so loved you that he gave. He's a giving Father. He's a giving Father. He goes on to say, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Okay? Another passage of Scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you are here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you may have him in your head, but you never have him in your heart. And I want to give you an opportunity to turn from your sins, ask God to forgive you, and to place your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. There's no other way. There's no other way. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for this wonderful family that you've given me. And God, I'm grateful that you have gifted us with your Spirit. You've given us the spiritual gifts you've given us. And Lord, I pray that every single one here would find their gifts, so that they can begin operating in them, so they can experience the joy of being in your service. Lord, I pray that you would help us. But Lord, I also pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today they would turn from sin and turn to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.